The word today is prosperity. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. There are false teachers who turn and twist Scripture to meet their own desires. Many of them talk about money and try to get their listeners to send large gifts to their ministries. Here from our archives, with a warning about these false teachers, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Prosperity.
We are warned in the Bible that just because someone sets himself up as a preacher or a teacher does not mean that they are automatically going to be telling the truth. There are several types of false prophets that are warned about in the Bible, and we can take a quick look at several of them, and then I want to spend a little time explaining in detail one of them that I regard as being a very present danger. I'm going to call it a danger in the Christian church today. Well, now, some of them that are more easy to spot are those that are talking about, predicting the end of the world. The Bible says very clearly that no one can predict the end of the world. We are to see the signs of the times. We are to understand that it is close and be prepared for the coming of Christ. But anyone that tries to tell you, well, it's going to be, you know, in this year, in this month, and so on, is utter nonsense. You know you're dealing there with a false prophet. Another one that I believe is very dangerous are those that are always warning and threatening people. You know, they can almost make a neurotic out of you, a psychotic out of you. Boy, if you're doing this, watch out. The devil's going to get you, and watch out. He's on your coattail, and watch out. You know, the point is, fear is not the motivation of God. Fear is the motivation of Satan. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to lose hope. He doesn't want you to have any hope. So anyone that is preaching fear and the judgment of God, and God hates you, and you are done, and blah, 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 is already a false prophet. Now, I want to, quickly move into one that I said I was going to develop a little more of a premise to it here, and that's called prosperity gospel. What a dangerous thing that is for the Christian church today, because there are some false teachers out there on the radio and on TV, and they are winning some people to their way of thinking because they're saying God wants you to be rich, and you are the king's children, and so God wants you to live in royalty. You ought to have the very, very most expensive clothes. You ought to have the most high-priced car. You ought to be living in a castle. You see, what you need is more faith, and they begin to try to describe to you what they mean by faith. What they're trying to convince you of is that the equation, as they interpret some of these passages, like Malachi 3, verse 10, they love to use that one a lot, and quite frankly, it is a very important passage. I use that passage an awful lot in my ministry, and I think it's beautiful because it tells you all about the fact that God wants to bless you and God wants to deliver his goodness upon you. That certainly is true, but these people, the false prophets, make it sound as though you have to write out a big check to them and their ministry, and then God will reward you. You see, they don't bother to tell you anything about the global ministries, about supporting missions in India where people are in poverty, or China where people are in poverty. You will never hear these people talk in a way that the people in India or China would come to salvation. You see, it doesn't fit their pattern because they're not able to send them big amounts of money. And they never warn you about the dangers of money. You see, God realizes that sometimes money can be a great evil for you. As a matter of fact, the Bible is where it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Thinking that you can just accumulate and get and get and get and never have to give is totally wrong and is totally unbiblical. So when you hear references to, you know, we think you ought to be more wealthy, we think you ought to treat yourself better than you are, etc., etc., be suspicious. Be suspicious. It's probably an effort to raise funds so that they can live in a very high lifestyle. I'll tell you, I almost wish I had the courage to mention some of the names here, but you can figure out who they are. There's some of them right here in the United States that are living such a luxurious lifestyle. They have their own fleet of jets. They have their own fleet of high-priced cars. They live in castles. And they're trying to tell you that you too can have that same lifestyle if only you had a little more faith and would send them a big check and would send them a lot of money. Then God would probably let you live the same way they're living. What a false teaching. Oh, that's a shame. I hope somehow God will get them off the air because they're misleading an awful lot of people. Now let's take a look at the right understanding of Malachi 3 verse 10. This is a passage that should be used against the Christian that is a tightwad, that is a miserly giving, somebody that is not at all serving God with what God has blessed them with. Now, first of all, God is the giver of every good gift. God is the one that gives us everything that we have. And he wants us to take a portion of it, a part of it, and use it in his kingdom. The most effective way you can use it is by supporting missions. Yes, I do believe we need to support Christian education. We certainly need to support Christian orphanages. We need to support Christian widows. The Bible is very clear on that, to support those in need. It certainly also tells us to teach and educate our children. We need Christian colleges and universities. We need to use some of the funds that God gives us for those purposes. But the major reason is the Great Commission, to take the news of salvation about Jesus Christ to the entire world. The mission of reaching people with the good news of salvation, to teach others that Jesus Christ is their Savior. That ought to be the number one first calling, and most of the money ought to go to that primary goal. It is the Great Commission, the one Great Commission that God has given to his church, to take the gospel to the world so that people can be saved. Now, getting back to a lousy giver that claims to be a Christian. If they claim Christ is in them, but they don't understand giving and they don't give generously or sacrificially, that's what Malachi 3:10 is talking about. Malachi 3:10 says such a person is forfeiting the blessings of God in the fact that they are not trusting God. They don't really believe in God. If they really did, they would know that God is going to take care of them. God is going to protect them. God will provide their needs. And that's what Malachi 3:10 is talking about. It says, give in a sacrificial, committed way. Really give a serious, wonderful gift, and God will open the windows of heaven, pictorial language, and pour down blessings upon you, so abundant and so great that you won't know what to do with it all, because it's going to be flooding over you as God's gift upon you. Because God knows now that you know how to handle what he's giving you, and you will continue to give generously to his kingdom work, to the work of missions. So I believe with all my heart that you have to at the same time understand the teachings in Scripture that warn against the love of money, how deceitful and how it can trip you up and destroy you. You might want to consider that you might be too susceptible to that. If you don't know how to handle money, the chances are God isn't going to give you a lot of it, because it would probably ruin you. It would probably destroy you if you don't know how to handle it, and it becomes the the center of your life. God wants it to be used in his kingdom and not worshipped or praised as if it is the God. Unfortunately, there are too many people, even some of them within the church, that look at wealth way, way too much as if it's some sort of a deity, a golden calf or something. Pretty frightening. Now, when we hear the message of salvation, it should be clear that God gives himself freely. You cannot buy him. You cannot rent him. You cannot impress certain ministries by the amount that you give, that if you give enough, they'll say, well, now we can assure you you're forgiven and you're saved. That forgiveness and that salvation is God's gift to you. And no pastor or priest or anyone else, no false prophet, nobody should in any way make you feel less a Christian just because you are unable to give a big gift. God used the little widow's mite, you remember, in the New Testament as an illustration for the big, wealthy, generous men who were giving bigger money, bigger amounts of money, but proportionately giving much less than the widow. Her little coin, her little mite, God looked at and said, that is such a big percentage, it's all of everything she had. And he would bless, and he used her little tiny gift as the reason for his love for her and the fact that he was blessing her for such a sacrificial gift. So be careful when people beg for money off of you. Make sure it's going to the right place for the right purpose. And above all, examine your own heart and see why it is you're giving, not to earn God's forgiveness or favor, but to love him and to obey his command to take the news of salvation to the world. I would say if you're giving to missions, world missions, that's the primary goal and the primary reason God has blessed you and me, so that we will give a portion of it to take salvation and the news of Jesus to the entire world.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.